This is a production of Cornell University.
David Maisel, I want to welcome you to a surprise honoring of Austin Kiplinger. And if you've never seen genuine surprise, come take a look at the expression on this face. I am joined today by my brother Todd Kiplinger, class of 1968, his wife Dana, my wife Anne, our son Brigham, class of 03 from Cornell, Daphne Kiplinger, class of 07, but graduating tomorrow, that's another story, and our daughter Sutton, who attended another estimable university in New York State that starts with a C, but not Cornell. She loves big cities. And David Maisel is joined by his wife, Martha. We are so touched at this amazing turnout from the Board of Trustees, Peter Meinig, Harold Tanner, Chair Emeritus, so many senior members of the administration, Hunter Rawlings standing at the back, David Skorton, so many, many estimable members of the Cornell family here today. And we would not be here but for an interesting idea that our friend David Maisel had. David is like a member of our family, a classmate of my brother Todd in the class of 68. David was thinking that there should be a tangible honoring of Austin Kiplinger here on the Arts Quadrangle. Yes, indeed. Austin Kiplinger first set foot on this quadrangle in 1935. I believe that he has been personally acquainted with two-thirds or three-fourths of the 12 presidents of Cornell University. I think you missed the first three. And actually, Livingston Ferrand was probably the first Cornell president whom he met, and every president thereafter. This quadrangle was where he went to school when towering elms lined both sides of this quadrangle. Across the way, Lincoln Hall is tangible evidence of one of his many commitments to Cornell, helping the campaign that made possible that expansion. So David Maisel had an idea that there should be some place that we could sit and turn around and look at the upper rail of a bench and see his name. And that brings us here today. And for some more remarks about Austin Kiplinger and what he means to all of us at Cornell, I'd like to bring up the ninth president of Cornell. He is a man about whom for many years it has been said he needs no introduction. And we've been saying he needs no introduction for so long that perhaps some of us forget why he still needs an introduction and why we still have to remember Frank Rhodes's remarkable contributions to this institution. A scientist who elevated the stature of Cornell, not just in the sciences, but in every field, who helped forge a national science and research policy for the United States of America, who oversaw the increasing diversity of the student body and the faculty of Cornell University over many years, who led the first billion-dollar capital campaign. It seems almost quaint today, $1.5 billion, in which Austin Kiplinger played a leadership role. In this era of briefer presidencies and executiveships, the idea that Frank Rhodes could lead this university for 18 years and leave office as revered as he was in the first year of his presidency, it almost defies description. Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Rhodes.
Knight and Todd and Daphne and other members of the Kiplinger family, and especially the patriarch, Kip, David and good friends of Kip. This is a wonderful opportunity to honor Kip for a life of devotion and service to Cornell. Knight just pointed out that it was in 1935 that Kip first walked across this quad. And to talk about Kip's contribution to Cornell is really to talk about a very substantial piece of Cornell's history as an institution. He plunged into student life the moment he came to campus. Red Key, the glee club of which he was the second base, DU, in which he was a very active member, Telluride, of which many stories are told, and many other aspects of student life. He was a class orator, and in June of 1939, he gave the class oration from the plinth in front of the statue of Andrew Dixon White from the other side of the quadrangle. So this bench will look across to the oratorical spot from which Kip spoke. But his devotion to Cornell has been extraordinary. He was a trustee for 29 years and was chair of the board for 8 years of that period. On the day that he retired from the trustees, there was a wonderful celebration in Washington to honor his years of service to Cornell, the first 50 years. And the day after that, I asked him if he would head up the campaign council to begin the second 50 years, and he agreed. And that's just the kind of person Kip is. His leadership of the university as a trustee, as a presidential counselor, as a trustee emeritus, has just been remarkable in every sense. The phrase presidential counselor so perfectly embodies what Kip has been to so many of us on this campus. and I'm one of those who owe an immense debt to him. Kip and Bob Purcell came to Ann Arbor on a very snowy day in the winter of 1977, and that was when I first met him. And they were brought by Paul McCracken, who was President Nixon's chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers. And Paul introduced them and promptly left the room. And Kip said, "I've come to see if I can interest you in Cornell." And I said, "Well, I really don't know anything about Cornell, except in the most general sense." And he proceeded to tell me. And I have been helped and honored in countless ways by Kip over those many years in between. Kip has not only given his life to Cornell, he's given his fortune to Cornell and has been an extraordinary benefactor. He endowed the Kiplinger Chair in Economics. He led and contributed very generously, as you heard from Knight, to what is now the Schwartz Center for Performing Arts. And the Kiplinger Theater in that building is named in his honor. He co-chaired the effort to renovate and add to Lincoln Hall to provide adequate music facilities for the campus. He has been front and center in supporting student aid in challenge grants and leadership roles. Wherever you look on campus, there is Kip, but nowhere more than here on this Arts Quad. He continues to serve as an emeritus trustee, as a member of the board of the Lab of Ornithology, to which he's also been a generous benefactor in honor of Gogo. Charlie tells me that he has frequently won the award for the most improved bird. And Kip explained that to me last night by saying that he started from a very low base of zero and went up to one in the first year. Wherever you look on campus, there is evidence of Kip's leadership and Kip's generosity, and it's wonderful to be able to honor him today. This bench, for which we thank you, Todd and Knight and David, will stand as a fitting tribute to Kip's leadership and devotion. It's been said that no one can provide a greater legacy than a well-educated family. And if that well-educated family happened to have been well-educated at Cornell, then that's a double benefaction. And so, Kip, we thank you for having given yourself, your wealth, and your family to Cornell over the years. Ladies and gentlemen, there is some champagne circulating, or there was, it may now have been consumed. And I ask you, if you will, to join me in drinking a toast to Kip, extraordinary Cornellifactan, benefactor, leader, champion of this university, friend to everybody in this particular gathering. After we've drunk this toast, Kip and Knight and Todd and David will come and unveil this bench. But in the meantime, let's drink to Kip. To Kip.
He's allowed to get one. He's allowed to get one.
Come on up. You come up and help with this umbrella. Todd.
And you may sit on it first.
All right.
Especially the name was spelled.
Who is more entitled to have the first recline than the honoree? It says, in honor of Austin Kiplinger, class of 1939, does that mean a 70th reunion next year? Chair, Board of Trustees, 1984 to 1989, a gift from the Kiplinger and Maisel families.
Oh, my God.
With love.
Oh, my God.
We had to go. Did we have
Do I get a chance to rebut this?
Yeah.
As I walked down the pathway, I was regaling my granddaughter Daphne about our class convocation here in 1939, when there were about as many people in the quadrangle as there are here right now. And we stood, as Frank told you, in front of the statue of Andrew D. White. And right in the middle of my riveting remarks, a great shaggy dog walked right across in the middle of the... And then I continued. I, of course, kept my poise. And I can only tell you the final words of what I said that day, and I will close simply by saying the same thing again. Cornell, for better or worse, is a permanent part of our lives. And I leave you with that.
Well, we have some refreshments over here. And please linger and visit among us as long as you wish. And we're so delighted. The Glee Club, the men in the striped ties, they were hovering so quietly back there that I had forgotten that we will close the formal proceedings as we close all formal proceedings at Cornell with song.
Far above. Proudly.